precursor to more activity there, but as a direct reflex back. Think of yourselves as being in a bathtub, and a wave is near one edge of the bathtub. What happens? It bounces back and comes over to the opposite side of the tub. So if you've got, if you're sitting on the other side, you can have an effect too, and these waves take time to travel, and the adjustments take time. But I would just call back your attention to that writing. And then the other event that happened yesterday, since I'm sure that he'll be listening to the tape, is yesterday was Court Christie's birthday, and I thought we should all just wish him a little brief happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Many more.
Why would you do that? He's so young it doesn't count.
Commander, yes. I'd like to know what the Nixon situation really was, what the truth behind the whole thing is, and what happens to those people, or those robotoids, when they go on the other side. I mean, why was he designated to go now?
Do we need that other hour? Well, you had your presentation of the idiots and the way they handle covering their fannies. You know, now we're going to be old brotherhood buddies. The one I think you will have all found the most interesting was Kissinger. Yeah. In tears over the loss of this, when he was the major instigator of Watergate to get old Nixon out of there. They are politicians. And don't worry about what happens to them after they make their transition. He's not in my way at all.
Is he the last surviving clone of his type?
Of himself or his type?
Himself.
That's what I thought you meant.
Yeah.
Let's not go. Let's not do this.
Oh, come on.
Fun,
aren't
they? Yeah.
Inquiring minds, but.
Yes. Well. Yes.
But why did they take him out now?
He died. God, he's old.
Really? Yeah. Patwell. Lonely.
Make another body.
It isn't that complicated. Nixon has done one or two things very recently that were not in favor of this administration. You know, he's made a trip to Russia, and he literally was one of your better presidents, as shocking as that may be. He was set up. He was one of your better leaders. He was very effective in foreign relations at a time when nobody wanted any effectiveness in foreign relations. He started out a very humble man. That is not the way he ended up, because all ones put into a position of power thrive and feed on that power. On the other hand, he was not cut from the same mold. But as, say, a Clinton trained at, you know, Yale and Oxford and to be a tool. He was turned into a tool through politics. And basically, you will note that several things happened at his funeral, which I actually respect. One was that Billy Graham, who is just as entangled with this New World Order and all of this bunch as anybody, but I honored the man for getting up and literally using the word Christ to this bunch of criminal thugs. And I thought possibly part of the tears they were shedding was over their own possibilities upcoming. I would have a lot more relative sorrow for Mr. Dole, who could hardly get through it, if there weren't so many shenanigans and bank accounts and secret money collections on the part of both himself and his wife. So it's you just cannot just always sit there and enjoy the freedom and the beauty of the moment and the pretty songs and the ideal that it might be this way somewhere, sometime. That might be the truth. And then have pity. Have compassion for the ones making their transition. Because in all instances, they will not at that level be the original character. And that is the only thing under discussion. these souls, these energies, have already made their justification or judgmental passage as they were phased out. So don't, you cannot jump that barrier at this time and consider those things. Yes.
Is this on?
I was to see Lydia yesterday. Her daughter was in here a little while ago, but she left. And Lydia is in very bad condition. She doesn't look like she's going to last till tomorrow. She's very, very bad. And they are having quite a big time with her. And I don't know whether she'll be going back to the hospital or what, but I just wanted to let everybody know that she's in terrible, terrible condition. She said, the daughter said that Lydia asked her to tell everybody everything is fine, when it wasn't all the time. But that's what she was telling everybody because that's what Lydia wanted everybody to know. And the other thing I wanted to say is you didn't ask for our input about whether we thought somebody should go over there to Nevada, but I don't think anybody should go to Nevada if it's going to put E.G. or Doris in jail. They better stay away no matter what it's going to cost us.
Well, they... As far as jail for E.J. and Doris, they've got to serve them personally, and this is out of their jurisdiction, so it's basically them. Although, if you put the Institute into receivership, it may well require their attendance at some later time in Nevada. So you do have to give some thought to that, and that can be discussed, you know, after we're off here. I knew in advance. I sent the word that I would not do it. We would work our way through this. But they talked her into it, and it was so incredibly painful and debilitating that she has not done well since. And she is still so uncomfortable. This is like setting up a sponge cement in your lung. In your chest cavity is what it is. When you are collecting that much fluid, there are two types of edema that can form in the chest. One is from a congestive heart failure, and one is from some damage that she had, which was actually one of the newer fungi. She had some 27 different types of fungi in her system. And at that point, and even at this point, the carcinomas were literally static. But she did have several. And they would cause some reaction in the lung. But any time that you pull off at one sitting more than 3 quarts, actually closer to 4 quarts of fluid that first time, that has displaced that lung by that volume, almost to the point of total compression of that lung on that side. It doesn't just expand. It's damaged. And as the fluid is removed, it will go ahead like a sponge and it will begin to, you know, take its original form. But if it has been compromised, it may very well have dead tissue, necrotic tissue in there that will not expand again ever. That has to be absorbed or removed. So you're dealing with pretty heroic measures. And the doctors truly did feel, and under some circumstances, maybe this would be okay, to fill up that cavity with something that would cause it to shut off that seepage, because it was beginning to seep about as fast as, you know, as they could pull it off. My feeling was, if the pain was no more than to go in there and remove that fluid, that would be the way to go. They chose differently. It is touchy. And we have been working with her, and she's been taking her things diligently, but in many ways, she's tired of the pain. And who am I to say, you've got to hang in here, no matter how miserable this gets, you got to make me look good and all these people look good? No. You don't do that. If she's weary and she's tired of this struggle, let her take her course. The last thing that we will ever do to anyone is cause them to feel guilty for what they're going to eventually assume is the easy way out. Lydia is fine either way. Lydia is sheltered. Lydia knows she's all right. And I think you're just going to have to face it, that she will make that decision now, and it's out of your hands. And she's placed that with God. I would hope that she doesn't make that transition before she gets to see a little bit of success here. So we might urge her to hang in here another week so that she can experience some of it. And then maybe she'll even change her mind. Is there anything else? I know we're out of time.
Wally has a...
I just wanted to say something about Louis Farrakhan's visit with Barbara Walters on 2020. He was, I thought, made a very excellent presentation of blaming things on the government and the Jews. I feel that the only misdirection he has is that he can't delineate between the Khazarians and the Jews.
Right.
But just the fact that it was put on and put her in almost a speechless state, disarmed, was very wholesome and heartwarming for me. And there have been other little leaks that have come forth on the tube that, you know, with these same accusations, and at least it's getting into the, you know, the collective unconscious, and with grace and luck and time, I think maybe we're really doing quite well. And again, thank you, and I'm just grateful for being alive and for what you have done and all the blessings that are in this life. Thank you.
You're welcome. As to the situation with the Jews and the Khazars, etc., Holocaust, whatever, they're getting desperate. Understand the need for their desperation. But don't discount the fact that you may be in the know. But ones even such as Ron Jackson that has actually experienced within that circle of power says, I think that Commander May, now this guy knows me. He says, I just think that this Commander May overestimate the power of these Jewish people. Well, you see, he is a typical one who has no real understanding. He gives respect to the Mossad. In fact, he says the CIA is stupid and they're nothing. And that's true. But they're dangerous because there's so many of them. But the Mossad, working with KGB, etc., I mean, that element of sophisticated meanness are the dangerous surveillance teams. On the other hand, unless you understand the Khazarian Antichrist movement, you won't understand the Jewish situation because they've been very clever in that. And there's no way that actually Farrakhan's come a long way. You're right. And I was proud of him. He handled himself superbly well in a professional manner. And that's what it requires, because you see, what the Khazarian element has done is put the black man at such disadvantage. Of all the ones on the earth who hate the black man, they are the ones. And the ones that they have shoved into places of prominence, you will notice, are the more unintelligent ones of their own race. And it is sad. How much time? Gone.
You've got forever now.
I may take it.
We're on tape 3. We're in great shape.
Good.
We have our own CIA. It's called Commander's Intelligence Agency.
Well, but I work for the GIA.
Galactic.
I prefer to call it galactic because no one understands gods.
We have another customer.
Commander, what?
Hello?
Yeah.
Commander, what does the Aristotle Onassis have to do with the Rothschilds?
It'll take the rest of the
page. Who? Well, you'll have to know that Aristotle of Onassis crossed the mob. And when he did that, we call that the mafia, I think. When he did that, and there were many reasons leading up to Onassis and the problems that he ended up steeped in. He crossed ones that could be total destruction to his lineage. Without getting into Rothschilds versus Onassis, you can't. I don't understand your question well enough to understand what exactly you're asking me, because one is basically not connected with the other at all. So what you are talking about maybe is the adversarial position that ended up between the Rothschild or the order, the committee, versus somebody like Onassis. And when he crossed the mob, he went further than that. He not only crossed the mob, but he married a Kennedy. Joe Kennedy was a member, high ranking in the mob. And this was partially to get a last word, aha, I got you, when he took Jackie Kennedy as a bride. And in turn, they killed his son, and eventually they killed his daughter. So I can't answer your question exactly. These, I'll tell you, you will not have heard the last of these names. You're going to find that we're going to reveal the ones on the higher committee and also the ones in the committee of 300. And you're going to find some overlappage of some names or some families, but don't let that fool you. But that's a long unfolding process. And Onassis got knocked out by the mob, of which you're going to find a lot have been attached to the mob. I hope that you're paying attention to the things that we are writing, not just for the James Bond or Mickey Spillane excitement, but the revelation, this is truth that you're getting. And so when you see these names on there, and you're going to find a lot of them keep popping up, like Meyer Lansky. He was a big one on the West Coast. Well, he was just a flat big mobster. And when you find out his connections with J. Edgar Hoover, you're going to really enjoy that. That's better than any pornography you've read. J. Edgar Hoover was the biggest
queen
weirdo. It went beyond Queen. And this was the leading legal eagle of your world. And he would dress up in his red dresses and his feathered boa, and his boyfriends dress up in their leather. And it's interesting. And the way this man stayed in power was to get blackmail information of this type on everybody who was anybody. And there is a man by the name of Talbot who is very, very high, like number one or two, you know, in Clinton's organization. And you're going to find these families never go away. But this was the lover, this was the friend of J. Edgar Hoover. So you got a lot to learn, a lot of fun things to be revealed. And you've got to learn them. You've got to know them. You may not remember all of the names, but you have to understand how long you've had this kind of corruption and why you have to recognize it before you can get rid of it and move on. It's like cleaning out the corruption from a wound. As long as it's infected, it will continue to infect. You've got to excise it.
One more quick one. There was that allegation in one of the papers that Janet Reno was actually a mister and had made some kind of a change. Would you comment on that, please?
I believe I made the comment, so I don't need to comment. I want you to look at her carefully. I want you to consider her background. And I'm serious about this. Consider her background as it's been presented. The woman is over 6 feet tall. And she certainly doesn't look like feminine. A cute little feminine doll to me. And it doesn't matter. She is an avowed lesbian. She will not avow that publicly, but she makes no bones about that.
Her and Hooker, wow.
Isn't it comforting?
What a can of worms. Get the microphone. I don't want to turn off the tape.
It's off.
On the other two.
Completely different subject now. I have been noticing, I think, as well as some other ones in here, for a number of months now, the different, either our positioning or the moon's positioning or something. But there is something very, very different about that moon. Crescents do not come on the bottom of that moon.
Right.
Now, what we're seeing is not like we used to see years ago. I got a little book, Peanut, believe it or not, brought it home from first grade, a library book published in 1942, and it goes through the stages of the moon from the beginning of the month to the end. And I don't care what stage you pick at what day, that moon is not the way it is now.
Son of a gun.
Yes!
I don't know, but I would really guess that you'd find it a lot more interesting if you noticed that moon with its crescent on the bottom about 6 or 8 hours later.
Yeah, it changes.
It goes
up.
No,
it doesn't. Doesn't do that.
It goes up in the morning.
Yes, it does. You'll find the moon will change. Your shadow is... You're really off.
We haven't stayed up that late.
We already know that.
Are we out of kilter? Is there a galaxy movie?
Oh, goodness. Don't you know it's the impact of all those asteroids on Jupiter?
Oh, no.
I thought it was an aftershock of the Landry's Big Bear.
That is a wise statement. That probably is true.
We all
Well, I'll tell you how serious it is. We won't worry about that moon. The big flap that they're giving you about these asteroids hitting Jupiter and going to have a universal tidal wave system and earthquake system, come off it. You may very well have it, but it's because they fully plan to knock off the San Andreas Fault about July 11th or 12th. I don't know, with some publicity about it and all of the things that are coming down, but I brought this right into confrontation. This is one of my confirmations with one of our people, and that is known. That is exactly what they plan to do. and they will be able to say that it was a reaction or response from those asteroids. So you have to be prepared. I cannot go through this and through this and through this. You see, what we say in this room is nothing to the higher level meetings that I have with people, or that others of my command have with higher ranking people on your place. I would never put you in that kind of predicament. But their plan is known, and they continue to want to threaten. And what they have to understand, as do you, is that you've got like two hierarchies above your capability of bumping off that fault line. You have the cosmospheres to contend with. You have an emerging power on your nation that may get sick and tired of these games. And you will end up in this confrontation regardless. And then on higher out in the farther reaches is the command. And yet I would guess that the command will have the least input into any of these circumstances as far as any kind of action. And there gets to be the point. It's like allowing Lydia to make her choices. You ones are going to have to realize nobody's going to make choices for you. You can be given what information we have, and the fifth time we give you information, you say, well, it didn't happen, I'm not paying any attention, and I know that my life will be different by next Thursday, so I'm not going to do anything. Well, just go ahead and sit there and let it fall off with you on it. And don't expect me to come rushing there with my little helicopter. I won't do it. Those are choices you are making every day. And when I say you, this goes into the ethers, all of you. I'm asked about this place or that place. I want all of you to understand something. When ones are urging you to go to this place because they've heard through this grapevine that this is a safe place and blah, 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 now tell me if that's right. No, I'm not going to tell you if that's right. Number two in that equation is it may not be right. You are going to make your decisions, and you will be guided within, not by all this hogwash. If you let the hogwash guide you, we have one very, very dear person who absolutely would do anything, literally, that I said do. I have withdrawn that kind of a support system. I cannot do this. I will not do this. Because ones come to her, and these ones have even attended, come from long distance just to attend our meetings. And if ones were privy to what they said after the gathering, what they said equated to, we want to do books, and we want to do this, and we want to have this meditation center, and all this stuff, now want to move into the Santa Fe area to open a center based on basically our work and have crystals and all these wonderful things. And should this one go with them? Well, I can't say don't go there. I can't look at Santa Fe, New Mexico and see whether or not that is a wonderful thing, a good place to be. But I can tell you this. It boils down to these ones want her to buy the land for them. That's number one suspect. And yet you ones end up a little bit in the same position of needing to rely upon each other. So that one can only be guided by her inner knowingness. If you're going to go to Santa Fe, precious one, why don't you come home here? If you can afford to be in Santa Fe and effectively take care of them all, then surely you could afford to come here. Does everybody hear me? I'm not making good sense, and I don't want this one to take that as, you know, her orders or her instructions. She has some other choices. other ones have said, well, you know, Commander did say that Southern Florida ain't going to be the best place. It won't. But there are a lot of other places that won't be good places either. And there is no place that is going to go unscathed, probably. And this is not the place for everybody. But I would guess at her age and all of the conditions involved with her, this would be a very good place for her. But that's up to her. That is absolutely not up to me. Let's go. There are a lot of things to be done. And you ones need to probably talk about later on in the week, and so that we don't need to require everybody's attention to that. So I thank you for coming. I thank you for just sitting through these kinds of decisions. And sure enough, one of these days we're going to get on to more spiritual beauty. But we got to walk through the muck first. So blessings and salut.
Thank you.